Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. They don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na, 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, I do. Need a little help. Say it, boy. Need some help, y'all. Change the world. What it used to be. Ain't do it alone.
Ain't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Politicians, well,
need a color. Everybody,
we need each other.
Wake up, everybody. Well, see, we need, wake up, everybody. We
come
need,
on now, wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead. Wake up, all your teachers. Start to teach a new way. They're the ones that suffer each and every day. Teach the children.
Teach the baby.
Teach the
babies.
Teach the children.
Nope. The world will get no better if we just let it be. We all need each other. Can't do it alone. We got to change this world to what it used to be. All right? Can't leave it the way it is. Okay. All right. Wake up, everybody. No more backwards thinking. Times are thinking ahead. Welcome, welcome, listeners all around this beautiful world. I am Kathy Clyburn, your host for Bring Back the Family, and I am happy and glad you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family. Focus on the youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind. First, we want to acknowledge God's word with the scripture and a prayer, and then we will get right on into it. And our scripture is going to be love and action, Romans 12:9-21. Romans 12:9-21, love and action. Let's do it. Love must be sincere. Here is the word. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one, love in another. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serve the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of lower position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with one another. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to revenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will reap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers and hearers of his great and mighty word. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for life, love, fellowship, and friendship, Lord. Thank you for this avenue of bringing back the family, Lord, the venue. And we just thank you, Lord, and just bless this show. Bless everybody that's listening. Bless all the speakers that we're going to hear today, Lord, and all the ideas and the plans and everything that's going on with bringing back the family, and especially the youth, because this is what this is about. It's about the youth. And we just thank you, and we praise you and lift you up. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we have a lot to talk about today, so I hope you're with me, your ears are on, and your mind is generating, you've been hearing everything that's going on all over this world, in our own little community and city. and it is, you know, hopefully it's affecting you in some kind of way that is reaching your heart to where you want to be able to help, help in your community, help on your block. You know, I love the Wake Up song. I play it all the time because that's my, like, my motivational piece to this. It says a lot. It's an old song, but it's still relevant for today because something was going on back then. It talks about things that were going on in their time and at their time. And it's really not far from what we are seeing and experiencing today. And actually, it's the same thing. So look how long we have been struggling to make it. You know, it's just been, it's basically it's all the same things. It's a call. It's a call for people to wake up, to get engaged, and to make a difference. It talks about hatred, war and poverty, challenges that have been with us since the beginning of time, calling for reform and change, awareness, hope, and accountability. So whose responsibility is it? It says, no more backwards thinking, times of thinking ahead. It encourages all people to do better because they can do better when they are faced with a better tomorrow. So who is responsible and who is willing to sacrifice and take the responsibility in making this world a better place for our youth to live in and for us? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get to it? What are we going to make up in our minds to do? So Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution to society and others all around the world, okay? All they need is just a little help, you know, and they need for us to help them. We have to show them how. We have to give them what they need. Like I said, this world won't get no better if we just let it be. And we need everybody. We need everybody. No matter what race, creed, or color, as it says, we can't do it alone. We want to change this world to the way it used to be, okay? And we're going to do that by blocks, block by block, okay? Block by block. You got kids, children, boys, girls in your block. Do some in your block. Get them together. Do some creative things with them. Take them on some trips. You know, get to know their parents. Get to know the youth. Talk to them. Find out what they're lacking, what they're missing. We know whatever it was that we missed out on. We know what that is, that whatever didn't get us to the level that we wanted to get to or what we experienced when we were growing up. As far as education, what is it that we didn't get that we could share with the kids now and be able to give them what they need so that they can do better, so that they can have what they need to make it in this world? We okay, okay? So it's the ones behind us that's coming behind us that we need to pull up and help because we're seeing what's going on just in our communities, you know, right around us, right up under our noses and our eyes, and we're seeing this and we're hearing this. And it should give us a big concern. It should make us want to just get up and stay up and just be watchful and, you know, dig deep down in our pockets and our hearts and just be able to give these kids some time and the attention that they need so that they can be okay. So that they can have what they need, so that they don't have to, so that we don't have to be victims to them not having what they need, okay? So it's important for us to do something on our block. It, you know, if everybody just do a little something, and if you could just imagine how that could be, how we can just get 1, 2, 3, 4, or the kids on our block, might not have any kids on your block. Go to the next block. I'm tempted to go to the next block, but I already got 9 that I'm working with. loving it, and I really want to go to the next block, but I'm going to wait until I get a little help. But then you never know. Because if I see them, you know, and they're just out there, you know, just, you know, playing basketball in the street, I'm going to ask them, you know, what it is they're doing, what they need, what's going on, you know, something. I'm going to inquire. So that's what we need to do. All of us need to inquire of the babies on our blocks and see what it is that they need. You know, talk to their parents. Get a relationship going with their parents. Like the kids today, they don't have what we had. You know, they don't have the caring neighbors and the things and places to go and the opportunity to get to know, you know, even our police officers. You know, like we had the police officers back in the day, they used to stop and talk with us. You know, we could ask them, well, what's going on? You know, and they'll get out their cars and have long conversations with them. It just brought about a relationship and respect. And, you know, our neighbors were like, you know, the extended families and looked out for one another. So we want to bring that back. So get to know your neighbors. You know, everybody probably got a lot of new neighbors. Let's try to get to know our neighbors, get a relationship going, and then try to, you know, make sure that the kids on our block have what they need to make it. Even if you don't take them anywhere, get them some books. Be creative. Just like I said, get them something that you think that they need that you didn't have, or whatever you had that your parents did for you to make you be able to know how to read and how to write. And so that's how we're going to plan to do that block by block. Just do something in your block. And that would be a way to help. Okay? That's just a way. That's an ideal and a way to help. So just think about that. Imagine that, what it can do, and how it could catch, you know, it could catch on and be able to help the masses. Okay? I went to... Well, Southwestern had their class reunion yesterday up at Kimberly Center, and it looked like it was a great success. I had to work, so I wasn't able to attend, but I did go by there anyway, and but most everybody had left. I did get a chance to talk to a few people and give them my flyer and tell them about Bring Back the Family. And they really liked it. They liked the idea, and they liked the concept of it, you know. And, you know, they said that they would listen. And because, you know, we had that long conversation about, yeah, it's just not like it was back then when we were growing up. Well, we had all the neighbors and neighbor support and love, and everybody looked out for one another. And so we had that conversation that we talked about in the beginning of the show last year. And so, yeah, that's what we talked about. Excuse me. My headphones coming out. Yeah, and so that's what we talked about. We talked about the community, the love and togetherness, the togetherness that we experience, and so we just wonder. So who dropped the ball? Did we drop the ball? And so if we did drop the ball, how can we begin again? How can we pick that ball up and get this started again to give our children, our young folk, you know, what they need? Because it is our kids, you know, we was born in the 60s, you know, or whatever. And so our kids had kids, and so those are our kids out there now that's doing the things that we're hearing about. And so somewhere that ball did get dropped. And so it's up to us to try to pick it up and try to run with it and try to help, you know, before we leave here, you know, and try to make it better. We have, you know, a lot of children and young folks that are doing well. And I spoke with a parent that was at the affair, and she was from the Thunderbird family. There's a lot of people out there. And she said that her son had just gotten accepted into the medical school. And, you know, that is just, like, great. And, you know, we need to have black doctors, you know. And so she was excited. I was excited that he had was focused enough to be able to stay focused and do what he's supposed to do and stay on his path. In other words, he could apply for medical school and get accepted. And so she's going to come on the show and just tell us, you know, what she did with her son to get him where he was. And then he's going to join her as well. And she was very excited about what, you know, we've done on Bring Back the Family so far. And so she plans to listen and then come on the show one day. And so last week we talked about, you know, continue with the disparities in our education that affect our youth, and what's happening, you know, about our education and you know, we take our kids to other schools. Why is it disparities in our education system? And we talked a lot about that, and Ms. Jackie, she had a lot of information on that. And then we talked about socialization. You know, so if we don't take our youth out of the community and let them explore and be a part of activities that they can learn from, then they'll be at a disadvantage, you know, it'll affect their behavior, because once they get to go out and they see how other people have a good time and they see how other people act and how their behavior is, that's how they learn, you know. Kids are busy, and if we don't, they're just very busy, and if we don't let them explore, they will take all they know about, you know, just being at home, and will, you know, they'll just be lost when others talk about things that they don't know about. And I've seen that where they're out there and it's just simple things that they don't know. And, you know, they look kind of confused when, you know, their peers know a lot more than what they know. And they'd be like, well, what's that? You know, so that's why we have to get them out the house, and just take them and get them involved in different activities so that they can be get some experience on how to do what they do. You know, all my little kids, I think they're pretty good, but they're busy, you know, but you have to have patience, and they have a lot to learn. And so it makes me patient because I want them to be able to learn how to behave. I want them to be able to learn how to interact and all of that. So I still take them. I don't, you know, fuss at them or be mad at them or anything because they don't do certain things, you know, the way I want them to do it, because they're learning. And that's what this is all about. And so so last week, like I said, we went to the Tigers game. And then we went golfing, and so this week we went to did I talk about the car show we went to? Yeah, we went to a car show. It was about 2 hours away. It was called the Gilmore Car. Where they just refurbish all the cars, the old cars, all the cars from like in the 1920s, and they had them looking like, wow, just beautiful, shiny, shiny pennies. They just had them all up to date, and they were old cars, like I said, from 1920, and before that, the buggies and Cadillacs and the Camaros, they were all old, and they were all redone. So it was a Gilmore Museum, and it was nice, and they really had a good time. They took us for rides in some of the buggies and the old Cadillacs and the old Lincolns, and I see one from 1961. In 1926 and 1930, every year. And what it made it so great is that You know, and I was telling the kids, I said, look, this is something to be proud of, because all of these cars were made in Detroit, you know. The Motor City was made here. And so that really made it exciting. And then we went and played golf at Chandler Park. One day this week, so much going on. We went and played golf at Chandler Park, and we had Mr. John Marner from the golf. I should have all this stuff so I can see it. His golf program, and he's teaching them how to play golf. And then after that, we went to, and this was the same day, we went to the Tigers game the other day, which I think it was Tuesday or Thursday. We went to golf, and then we went to the Tigers game that night, and that was great. And so this is what I'm talking about as far as, you know, getting them out, letting them go to different places and show them how to, so that they can learn how to socialize. They can see how others behave and how others have a good time. And that's how they learn. We can't just keep them home, because then they won't learn anything, you know, unless you give them a book and make them do a couple of book reports, you know. But this is how they learn. And then resources. Just take advantage of the many resources that are offered. A lot of them are free, you know, the activities, the programs that we announce on this show. A.V. Avitrius comes on and tell us about some of the job opportunities, the scholarships, and the opportunities for the youth. And we just need to take advantage of that. Talks about DATSET and places that they can go get math tutoring down at Wayne State. And just a lot of information that we could take advantage of. And Ms. Jackie has sent the information about the aviation program that offer training, paid training, to learn how to fly airplanes, be an airline pilot. And it was making six figures, you know. How many parents told their youth about that, their child either checked it out or went and gave them that opportunity to be able to do something like that, you know? Because all these things are for us, too. We can fly planes. You know, some of the kids, you know, I talked to them about it. I said, would you ever like to fly a plane, be a pilot, you know? Like, they're like, no, you know. But they don't even know what it really takes. They just figure, you know, okay, I ain't never heard nothing about it. Nobody never told me about it, introduced me to it. So, no. What else was it? It was something that, it was golf. I was telling the kids. I said, golf is fun. And they was like, I don't like it, you know. I said, well, have you ever played it? They're like, no, how you don't know you don't like it, you know. So now they're playing and they like it, okay. You know, they get a good talk from the coach. And, you know, you probably want to beat them up sometime, but they get it. They get it. I'm going to put all those pictures and things on the website so you can be able to see them in action and what they're doing, okay? Let's see. So, yeah. So take advantage of all the resources that you hear about on this show, and then you could go on the Runner for Christ Ministries website and see a lot of the jobs and the activities and programs that they have for the youth and adults that they can participate in. If you need a job, you know, it's a lot of, you know, people hiring, and they need people. They need us now. So, like I said, they'll have a baby work if they can. So, this is the time where you could go and get the job that you really want to get, you know, and be able to make some money and be able to save some money and be able to have something, and have your own home and your own vehicle and the things that you need to make it, okay? It's been, you know, it's been a year. just like I said, just take advantage of those resources that you have been hearing about. Go on the website and check them out. Runner for Christ Ministry, rfcm.org, and check out those jobs and let me see, those jobs and those opportunities. Okay, and so, you know, since we've been doing this show, it's been a little over a year now, and all I've been hearing about the parents that have, you know, that work with their kids and, it's, you know, they have had successful success with their children, all I hear is that they keep them busy. That they keep them active, they keep them in activities, and you know, if that's all it takes, then let's just step it up and just get our kids the activities and the time that they need, giving them some time, and then taking them to those activities. A lot of us just time that they need, you know, that we need to give them, you know. Investment. We just have to invest in our kids and just take that time and take that quality time to spend with them, and so that they can, you know, be involved. If they can't get where they need to go and they're just at home, what are they learning? So a lot of parents talk about, well, I kept my son busy. I kept my daughter busy. They didn't have time to get in trouble. They didn't have time to even think about what they wanted to do, but what they were doing, and they stayed focused. And so once you get them started, like I said, these kids, they said they didn't like this and they didn't like that. They didn't want to go to basketball, didn't want to go to, you know, golf, didn't like this and that. But now, since they're doing it, they can't get enough of it. One kid, he just is like, no, I'm not going to that. So I'm not going to basketball camp. I'm not going. And so now he went from one day to 3 day to I cannot even sleep thinking about wanting to go. And so, yeah, so we the ones let them stay home and sit around and play video games and just chill. So, but if we get up and make them and put them in these different things, then if they don't know anything about it, then we have to, you know, introduce them to it, and then they'll like it, you know. And then two choices. Yeah, so, okay. So we're just going to continue to talk about the disparities and talk about the resources and talk about the socialization, because our kids really need to be socializing. We are so behind in all that we do, and it's time for us to, you know, to get busy. So all those Southwestern classes that were out there at Kidney Center, what can we do? That was a lot of people. That's a lot of help right there. And so before they left, I hope that they had a plan for helping. You know, we lost two young men in our community this week, criminalized two young men. I think they had one criminal this past Thursday or Friday, and another one be criminalized next week or this week coming. And so through violence and guns and things like that. And so I don't know how we can just, you know, just keep letting this just take place and we don't really, you know, get up in arms and, you know, want to make this thing better. And, you know, because, you know, these are our kids, like I said. So he, the one that did the shooting, he has parents, he has a family. So what did you know about that young man? What did you try to do to help him? Did you know he had a gun? Did you know he was violent? Did you know any of these things? But some of that could have been avoided, okay? And so now we have to lay down two young men, and we need to know what all this is about, you know. Where is it going? Okay, so let's talk about it, okay? We have to call if you want to make a comment, ask a question. Just press 1, and we will open up your mic, okay? Let's talk about this and everything that's going on. Okay, area code 314, you are on Bring Back the Family. Hello.
Well, when you talk about the disparities in resources, exactly what are you talking about?
Well, the disparities in the education that, you know, why are our kids not getting it? Why are they not able to read? Why are they not able to write? What is happening? Why do we take our kids out of the public schools, and why do they go to private schools? Which is better? What should we be doing to help our kids to make the mark and get what they need to have, you know, because a lot of our kids are going to the prison system. Why? What is happening that
our kids, exactly who are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about our kids like me, black kids in the community, in the public school system, the kids on my block. I live in a black neighborhood, so yes.
All right, well, let me say this. I don't know what city you're in.
Any kid that's not getting it, huh?
I don't know what city you live in, but I can tell you about some cities, like St. Louis, for instance. Now, those schools in St. Louis, they got the resources. Those schools are practically brand new.
Mm-hmm.
And these are St. Louis public schools. It's black in the surrounding area there in the suburbs, black majority. And they have the resources. And, you know, in the state of Missouri, the local school district has control over the curriculum, books, and instructional material. So that has to fall back into the hands of the parents and the people in those districts that's letting this stuff go on. I know that a newspaper made a report showed that those black school districts have just as much money per child, in some cases even more per child, than their outlying white school district. Well, that's not a burden. But, you know, you made mention, too, about sports. I think sports, if your high school is failing in reading and math, there shouldn't be any sports going on. Football, basketball, and others, they should not be participating in that. If, for instance, you got less than 5% in a district that's doing math proficiency and less than 14%, and I'm just quoting a district that I know, is reading at a proficient mm-hmm. level. So why do they let those children play sports when they should be putting more emphasis on the academics? Why do they have, like, George Floyd Commemoration Day off when they should be in school?
What's the ratio
learning in the area?
Children using weapons in St. Louis?
Pardon me? I didn't hear that question. I didn't hear your question.
Miss Jackie, he didn't hear your question.
No, I didn't. I had some questions in my mind, but I was giving respect. I was online. I didn't know my mic was open, and I was trying to get some show numbers in, like he mentioned, St. Louis.
Well, it's pretty much the same across in your major cities, for sure.
Right, and I was looking for the ratio of weapons used by children that's reported in St. Louis, victims, child shooting victims. I was looking up the ratio of that because I'm a fact finder. Because I, when I speak about something, I want to be, and mind you, I'm recovering from COVID, so sometimes I have to think about what I'm saying before I actually say it. So don't use
I keep track of those facts too. You know, St. Louis, you talk about black crime, blacks killing and shooting blacks. In Chicago, just ending this past Memorial Day, in a year from last Memorial Day, you had 4,666 blacks shot by other blacks in Chicago, with about 643 murders. No white police shot nobody.
Well,
so
there was some more discrepancies about Chicago, because, but we won't get into that right now. But what I'm looking at is that we're talking about our children and education. Well, yes, they do have certain guidelines now set up that the children have to have when they play sports. They have to have certain grade point average. But I think what Kathy was speaking about when she said that the children should have outside curriculum, she was speaking about the social, learning them, teaching them socially how to interact. Because if a child is never exposed to another environment or another source or another, they will never learn. I spoke regarding the pool that we had in the community that was no longer there. And it was a calculated move on the higher ups at that time, the governor. They said that they were not going to put insurance on the pools, but they didn't let the public know. That's why you didn't have a pool at Kennedy Center, because they couldn't get all of the statistics in place, everything in place in order to build the pool. They could build it, but you can't open it if you don't have insurance on it. But
what
if your child is never, right, but if your child is never exposed to swimming, that child will never have a dream of going to the Olympics. If
well,
your
I
child
agree with
has,
you. That
Pardon?
Was Michael Nutter. That was Nutter's mayorship that happened, wasn't it, in Philadelphia? You say Philadelphia?
No, no, that wasn't in Philadelphia. I'm talking about here in Michigan, Detroit.
Detroit.
But I think what Kathy was addressing was that we need to expose our children to other environments like golf, that they would never have been exposed to in the community if someone didn't step up and say, well, I'm going to introduce this to the children.
I agree. That's
right.
What you're saying is a good thing. But that's still up to the parents.
Right. But see, the thing about it is Kathy comes from a community. We grew up in the same community where when we grew up, the community was a village. Everybody took interest in the children. Today, you don't know your neighbors. Today, you are leery about saying anything about someone's children. And a lot of people have been standoffish about it. And because Kathy stepped out and she does such great things that, you know, up and above that most people wouldn't even know. But the thing
well,
about
let me say
it
this, ma'am. You're talking about a local self-experience issue. That wouldn't apply in communities across the country because none of them are the same. And as far, you know, I remember when Detroit used to have over 100,000 students in their district. Now they're less than 50,000. That's because people had left and moved for a host of reasons. 60 Minutes done a documentary called National Disgrace on one school there in Detroit. And I think you had the issue where this Army personnel came in and took worked in the capacity of a superintendent, and he got no cooperation from the board members.
Well, no, so, but it, you know what? And that was a little bit, see, you only get receive what they want you to hear, because that was a calculated decision. Like my minister said the other day, they are playing chess while we are playing checkers. Every move is calculated. The person, when they was, it was a they were appointed by the governor, and what they did at that particular time, they decided that anybody, any public facility, emergency managers, what they had, any facility that owed any late bills, the state took over and sent an emergency manager. What the emergency manager did was uprooted, and it was a calculated decision where they brought in subcontractors to take over jobs. And these people took over these public jobs, and people lost their income and had to reapply and make a lesser salary. All of this was calculated. They came in and they put a bond here, and people voted on it. All those schools that they built, they turned around and took those schools from the school system and made them a charter school. But guess what? The citizens of Detroit is going to have to pay that bond when it's due. That means their property taxes are going to go through the roof. If they're on a fixed income, they're going to lose their properties. Okay? Everything is calculated. And when they give this information out, they're only giving partial information. It was designed to send these emergency managers into these major cities to interrupt the school systems, and a lot of them were designed through, and I'm trying to think of those two brothers. They're very rich because they got a documentary out on them, and they will tell you how they came in to destroy the black schools in the urban communities. Let me say this.
I came up to Detroit back in 1998, I think it was, and I visited schools like Malcolm X, Paul Robeson. I visited Martin Luther King, and I videotaped those schools. Malcolm X was one of the most highest achieving schools, not only in Detroit, but in Van Arbor and Groose Point.
Oh, no, I got to cut that off. I'm sorry.
Someone hit the hold of a gun at home. Others involving children caught in the crossfire.
Okay, I'm sorry, sir. That video just came on the computer. I apologize.
Yeah, I understand. So it gets back, and that's because that's what parents wanted to have. You know, they had another documentary on 60 Minutes when Malcolm X was being performed in a vacant school in basically a white community. And as the kids was going to the school on the buses, they were throwing rocks at it. The Nation of Islam had to surround the school and sort of protect it. But what I'm saying is that was back in the 90s going into 2000, and that's what parents want. But now when those kids get of age and they leave those schools, then you got this other set of parents and community, they don't have that type of interest and emphasis on the education.
You know what, but it can be changed. And I think that programs like what Kathy is putting in place, I think that they are starting with grassroots or programs, community people coming together and whatever they have to offer, if it's through a fundraiser to sponsor a child to be exposed to something, to give them a drive. What I think she's reaching for is the passion in our children. And sometimes in that passion, to for them to dream again, for them to be able to pick up that book and be able to guide. See, the thing about it is, and I was talking to a lady Saturday morning, children is the root of any community, building a community. Because if you don't have children in the churches, then the churches die, because as we age, our numbers, you know, and I'm not talking about the gun violence or whatever. I'm saying take that out of the equation. Let's look at the picture. Children grow up in the church. They got to learn how to have the passion to enjoy going to church or enjoy having a relationship with God. Then the next thing is you got to give them a passion of a wanting to read, a passion of knowledge, but they got to be exposed to something in order to have that passion. Now, one of her mottos is that if we don't save our children, these children are going to turn, they're going to grow up and they're going to be either productive or non-productive. So I think what she's reaching out and this whole section is that we want young people to want to come in and embrace this and really be the leaders of the show, because they can bring in other young people, and you have to do it step by step.
I agree with you. I think that program she has is going to be a good program, and you got to protect your kids, especially, you know, these black kids, because they've been exposed to this sexual explicit material in the grade school. They've been exposed to these transgenders coming into the library with a rainbow wig and Cinderella dresses on, these grown-ass men want to wallow around on the floor with kindergarten students. You got to protect your children from that and say, hell no, we don't want this in our schools, because that's what they're doing. They're attacking the kids with this gender confusion and all that craziness. I knew they told me of a school that had a litter box in the bathroom where some kids were saying they was cats.
Oh, sorry. I'm going to have to ask you people, and I'm going to have to ask Kathy to block me, because I don't want to be rude and laugh, okay? But let me say this. Let's see what we can do as putting together block by block. You know how they used to have, and I remember this, where they used to have the building done in the church where the name went on a brick. And maybe we could come up with something where everybody might not be like Kathy that can get a load of kids and take them to a game. But we might be able to say, well, you know what? We can donate a little bit of something for you in order for that child to have something to snack on. Or when we see different programs, if we are sponsoring, and we're not out here, Kate, I'll be out here active. If we sponsor our child in a program, have set aside for another child that might be wanting to go to a program that can't afford it. So little things like that will help you block by block in order to help a child. You can't help everybody, but if you can embrace some of the people, and see, the thing about it is, it was Kathy that caught my interest. And watching her do the things that she does, I used to do it, But I said, you know what? It's time for me to start giving back something. And if I can help her with that little building block, I'm going to help her with the building block. Because if we, a house is built from the foundation, but if we block by block, after you keep those blocks up there, and you adding to those blocks, and when I'm saying the blocks, you helping these children, at least one today, two tomorrow, you do the binary system and double it, after a while, you'll make a huge change.
I agree with you. That sounds very good. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to leave. You got to rebuild families, too. You got to have mother and father that have consideration on their children, and you got to have for real grandparents. No 35-year-old grandparent. A 35-year-old can't be a grandparent. Grandparents bring intergenerational wealth and assets to the raising of family, raising of the kids. And if the kids don't see that, if they don't see that interaction between a mother and father, well, how do you expect them to grow up and carry that on, continue that on within their family, their neighborhood, and whatever else it should be? But I hope the latest program worked out. It sounds great. And I'm going to let you guys go back to your show. Thanks for giving me the opportunity.
Don't leave. Stay tuned. You know.
All right.
You know, the motto is, if we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. And it's focusing on the youth. And it's called Bring Back the Family. So it's all encased in what we want to do. And we just want our kids, all I know is that I know how I did it, or my family did it with our kids, you know. We was a support for them. I had 11 brothers and sisters, so it was a lot of kids. And so my whole life has been just Aunt Kat. I've been there to support my sisters and brothers with their kids and making sure that they have what they need to make it. And that has been my life journey. And so all of our kids are doing well. We supported everything that they needed to do, everything. We traveled everywhere with them, made sure that they had exactly what they needed, made sure we went to their parent-teacher conference, made sure that they stayed busy. And so that's what I know to do. And so
I bet your family's sacrificed too.
Their kids are doing well, and we're just hoping that that keep going. And so this is what prompted to bring to this, bring back the family, because that's all I know. That's all I know is family. That's all I know is helping the kids. That's all I know is support. And so if, you know, we want our kids to be able to be represented in all the professions, because these professions are for our kids too. And so bringing awareness to what our kids need so that they can represent in these professions, they could be doctors, they could be teachers, they could be lawyers. And like you said, we don't have the grandmothers that are 90 and 85 years old. We have younger grandparents. I don't know if that's going to stop, you know, because it has started, and that has to wear itself out. But it just needs to be talked about more in the family, and these parents need to be aware that, yes, their kids can be doctors. Yes, their kids can be teachers and lawyers, and they need to be able to represent. They can be police officers, you know, and we need to see our own people in these professions.
That's true.
If we don't make sure that they get educated, then we won't see them. We won't see them. And
no
the
child
system is just getting full.
No child wakes up in the morning saying, "I want to be a failure." I know I have never known
we have to, Right. We have to teach them. We have to give them what they need, and it's up to us to do that. And so the parents, they need to get back focused on what we need to do for family and what we need to do for our kids, because they need to be in these positions. They need to represent. I want to see my kids, you know, our kids, our people representing all of these professions. They don't just have to be the aide. They could go ahead and be the nurse. You know, they could go ahead.
Well, I agree with you.
And
I get tired of hearing about.
It's not just the sports that they're involved in, and most kids can't play the sports because of their grades. You know, so but like you said, it's the socialism part of it that they have to get out and be able, because that's what we did with our kids. We made sure that we were wherever they were. They were busy all the time. So by the time they got home, they were knocked out. And so, but the
well,
support,
I tell you what, a lot of these coaches like to try to relive their life for your kids. And that there is a problem.
Pardon?
Like I said before, if these schools, high schools, have failing academics, then they need to start cutting out on the sports and put more emphasis on these young people. Because look how many kids was expended to produce one LeBron James, to produce one Kobe Bryant that everybody likes to talk about. You're talking about hundreds and thousands of kids that never did make it to the big stage, although that's what they strive for, and it's a lopsided stride. You have to balance those things off with academics, because all of them don't make it to the big stage.
We have to tell them the truth about that, because when they say they want to be a basketball player, I said, no, pick something else. That's extra curriculum. Pick something else, because everybody is not going to make it there. You know, just like you put in hard, you have to put the hard work in whatever you do. So if you want to play basketball, you have to put the hard work in, just like you have to put your school work. Hard work has to go in. You know, I talk to them about that all the time. So no, they have to pick something else. Because if you're just telling them, are you going to be a basketball player, if you're not telling them that they could be a lawyer, they could be a doctor, they could be a teacher, you know, if we're not telling them that, all they're seeing is, you know, all this fame and fortune, you know, with the basketball, then, you know, we have
you
to do
absolutely
something different.
And you know what makes it worse yet? They're not allowing these high school kids to do that name, image, and likeness, where they can make money off of their name, image, and likeness. And that's what they strive for. I think that's kind of backwards myself. The emphasis should be on education, preparing your child for the jobs that's in high demand, and work with them and strive to do that. You know, you got kids on the basketball court at 8:30 at night shooting 100 free throws so they can be perfected in their basketball game. Well, why come they're not at home doing 100 math problems so that they can be perfected in their math and their reading?
Can I make a comment, please?
Well, those ones that's out there doing the shooting the basketball, they might be proficient in their math and in their studies, and they're just trying to do that professional and that, you know, basketball as well. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, when you look at the data, they might be doing both. Yeah, when you look at the data don't say that. And when it gives an average academic performance for a high school, it's very, very lacking. And as I said before, I wouldn't want my child playing sports and they cannot do math and they can't read. But anyway, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to let you guys carry on with your show. Thank you very much.
All right. Keep listening. Call us back. Thanks for calling. All right. Okay. Hey, anybody else want to get in on that?
I would like to make a comment, please.
Okay, go ahead. Hey, Ms. Pierce, how you doing?
I'm doing very well.
I haven't seen
or
heard from you in a while. You've been missing in action.
Well, I listen when I can. Very interesting conversation Mandem's on, just left off the air. And just a couple of comments, like your other caller was saying, it's like you have a grassroots effort going on to try to save children. If you could save one child,
mm-hmm.
that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not, what you're doing, you haven't perfected it all. You don't have all the answers. You're not a savior.
Right.
You can't save everybody. You can't, you don't, you're not going across the country right now. Right now, you, like you say, you're doing block by block. And there's a couple of things I would like to comment on what he was saying. As like he made just a comment, he said, well, some of these coaches, they trying to live through their children, the children that they're coaching. But that's what gives them the drive. A lot of these coaches, yeah, they may be trying to live through the children, but at the same time, they're being dedicated to give some of their time. They give a lot of their time trying to coach these children. And what they have learned is that sports, along with academics, makes a person a better-rounded person. It teaches a person one main thing, which is teamwork. And one thing, like Lady was saying, we have to expose our children to everything, extra things besides just education, because, for instance, we had a meeting with the EEOC one day, and because there was issues in our office, and we're talking about how other people of FTP were able to get these jobs over someone who's more qualified. And what has happened is that when people are doing interviewing, they look at people that look like themselves. They may have a common interest, like they may have met each other at the golf course. Well, hell, if you're black and you never went golfing, you're not gonna ever be able to get into that circle. Okay. Years ago, women filed a suit against the Detroit Athletic Center because it was a place just for men, and the women complained that the men were able to make these high-powered deals because they were able to bond with other men at this Detroit Athletic Club. So they filed suit in the city because women were being denied access to the Detroit Athletic Club. So sometimes sports is the route that we use, that we know we can use to get a child interested. We can use it as a cure to say, well, listen, if you don't do your work, you can't play, okay? And I believe in sports. I believe also in academics. It is the parents' responsibility first to make sure your child can read more arithmetic and English and literature. It is the parents' first responsibility, and the teacher is supposed to help teacher any way you can. But for those children who do not have that support at home, then we need other people that could help help them also, be it a neighbor, be it a teacher's aide, be it a coach, somebody who else could encourage the child, because sometimes children don't have it at home. So we need people like yourself in the community to step in and maybe give that child a encouraging word or a push. When the gentleman said, when he asked you, he said, well, what children are you referring to? Well, you live in a black community. You're not discriminating against any child who needs some help. But right now, your focus is on African-American children. We're not seeing Asian children being locked up. And it may be Hispanic people being locked up, but that's mostly on the West Coast, you know. But here in Michigan, it's not a lot of Hispanic people or Asian people that are being locked up and railroaded into jail cells for long periods of time. We're focusing on the black children because they are the ones that we are close to, and those are the ones who need extra attention. When our children, I have sons, I used to tell them, you already have a bullseye on your back, okay? When Caucasian boys are born, they don't have that mark on their back, you know. They don't have that mark when they're Asians. But black boys, they have a target on their backs immediately, and it doesn't matter how young they are, you know. They perceive them as a threat, and that's their issue, and which has become our issue. And also, it's like we can't. It's easy to sit around and talk about what what's not being done, you know, or why we shouldn't be doing this. It's easy to say, oh, if women would stop having babies so young, or we could talk about that issue all day long, you know, black boys, black children being disrespectful. We can talk about the bad all day long, but we have to find a way to change that. Like I said, if you can change just one child, if you can influence one child, then that makes that one person can be successful. Maybe he can start, his family can start being successful. It's changing one child or one person's mindset at a time, if that's all you could do. And so the gentleman on the phone, you know, it's like, you know, maybe, you know, he could start his own grassroots in his on his block. Because that's what you're talking about, block by block. You don't care who copies your theme. We just need it done, you know. And if you've already raised your children, you don't really bother anymore. If you see a young man out there and he's doing something that you know, and I know it's dangerous. It's real dangerous to talk to some of these young people. But if you don't, we are going to become the victim later on. And there's not, and things going on in Detroit right now, these are grown A men who are going by doing drive-by shooting up in crowds. These aren't the teenagers. These are grown men who are supposed to have some sort of coping mechanism. But, you know, everybody wants to solve everything for gun, and they think that they can just hide out or just go home and go to bed. These aren't the teenagers that's doing it. These are grown people. You know, way past grown, way over 21, way over 25. You know, they're in their 30s. They're going back. They're shooting, and like I said, it's a big issue with the gun violence all over the country. But we're not talking about the young white male that has become a real threat to the United States, who's just, you know, just picking up arms and being by these white weapons and just shooting up schools and everything. They're a problem also. So, mm-hmm. I can say I appreciate the work that you're trying to do, and I say everybody can do a little bit. If you can just reach out to one child, you know, school time is getting ready to start. You might can put something in your own community. You know, if you stand in a place where they have a association, you can put that on your association Facebook page, you know, I volunteer to tutor young children in math. I mean, I could do math up until you get up to algebra, you know, but believe me, there are some little kids that need to know how to do simple math, adding, subtracting, multiplication, division. And, you know, I could volunteer an hour or two to do that, or someone who needs help in reading or writing. I could help a child do that. And I can volunteer my service. So everybody can do something to try to turn this tide. Doing nothing is not an answer. Doing nothing, sitting around complaining about what somebody should be doing, that's not an answer either.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Ma'am. Uh-oh, I'm sorry, my phone had charged. You still there? Okay, yes, ma'am. Can't hear myself. I can turn the volume up. Yes, Ms. Pierce, that is absolutely correct. And it's just something that that's supposed to be happening right now. And if we just bring awareness to the parents on what they need to do, just give them an ideal in their households of what they're supposed to be talking about to their kids, you know, not just, you know, basketball, but what do you want to be? What do you want to do? You know, just having some communication with your child. And I think that's where we're missing it, you know, where it's going bad because now it's the phones there. Everybody's communicating with the phone, and we're not having any face-to-face and conversations with our kids. So we don't really know what they're doing. We don't know what they're thinking. And it's just getting out of hand. So they're leaving there to their, being left to their own devices. And, you know, we do have these young adults that are getting a hold of these guns that they don't know nothing about. They don't know anything about guns. All they know is how to kill somebody. And so, like I said last week, I talked to a young fella, 18 years old, and he just, you know, told me how it is, you know, what they're thinking, you know, that they want what they want and they just want to go and take it from somebody, you know, until they get caught and then they get a chance to realize that, okay, well, you know, it wasn't worth it. But, you know, you don't know what might happen. If you might be done killed somebody, then you get to learn, like, okay, well, it wasn't worth it. Then it's too late. But that's why we need to be talking to these young folks, you know, and giving them other alternatives and letting them know that we support them and the things that they need to do. Yeah, and we have to be truthful. We got to let them know that they could trust us, you know, and that, you know, if we could go and face-to-face talk to them, then they know that we care something about them. But if we just keep running from them and not, you know, addressing, you know, their issues, how are they going to learn? Yeah, because they are young people, and if they you know, like I said, the media is teaching them, and these phones and all the, you know, the video games, and they're learning, you know, outside of the home. So, just want to bring some awareness to what we need to be doing for our kids. We need to be going to parent teachers conference. We need to be talking positive to them. We need to be talking, you know, telling them what they want to be, looking at them and just figuring out what their gifts and talents are so that they can use them, you know, and then start to invest in their gifts and talents, you know. With Dominique Dawes' grandparents, saw her flipping all over the place, just flipping. So they went and invested in that young girl and gave her some lessons. Marcus' little girl, Shari, remember how she used to just flip all over the place? Come in the house flipping. You're going to college. You're going to be a cheerleader, what, you know? And so those are the things you're supposed to see. But, I mean, it's been working so much that we can't. Mm-hmm.
And this is a totally different time from my era, my parents' era, my grandparents' era. These young people have a lot of opportunities. They can use their likeness and make money. It's real easy. So they have to think outside the box. We were raised to just get a light education and get a job and go on about our business. But these young people, they are starting their own business young. You can see sometimes on the media where kids are having their own little fruit stands and things like that. They're learning to be entrepreneurs early in life. And everybody can't be a doctor. Everybody can't be an attorney. Of course, everybody can't and shouldn't try to be, aspire to be a professional athlete. But let me tell you, you may have some young men and women, girls too, because they want to play basketball. So you may see them out there throwing up 100 free throws. But this is what you have to do to become great. If you're serious about becoming a professional athlete, then this is what you have to do. You have to hone your craft.
Right.
If you want to be a musician, you know, you would have to be on it and do hours of music if you're serious about the craft that you want to do. And so I don't see anything wrong with a young man that's out there at 9 o'clock putting up 100 shots.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's important he knows how to read, but he also needs to know about mathematics so that he can control his own wealth once he gets a good contract.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's how
so
most
we
of them do.
and as parents, you know, you try to help them. If that's the path they want, then that's the path you try to help mm-hmm. them on. I would make sure that I took my son to all of his basketball practices, went to all of his games. I supported mm-hmm. him in doing that. He was able to get a scholarship mm-hmm. at that time that was worth over $50,000. But hell, that was good money. You know, I could have took out a loan and paid for that, but it was a lot better getting the education free. And let me tell you, a lot of kids go to college. They get those scholarships because they are cheerleaders. See, they don't talk about the scholarship they give away right. to these kids who are fed in the bands and being cheerleaders. They don't talk about that. But they can play volleyball, they can play soccer, they get scholarships in college, do all those things. So you can't talk about, oh, they should be playing, they should be doing. Yes, it's all mm-hmm. important. They have to be a rounded person. You know, they have to, whatever they're into, they have to make sure they're good at it, because there's there's 100 persons for that particular spot. And, yeah, 90% of them do not make it professionally, but in the end, they do get that piece of paper that's going to make them some money in the end if they mm-hmm. finish their college degree, career. So, yes, right. It's important. Academics and extracurricular activity is very mm-hmm. important.
Go
and Detroit for a while they took out the music and art out of the schools. You know, mm-hmm. and music is mm-hmm. very important, because music is equated with mathematics. So we need mm-hmm. all of that, and every child learns differently. You know. You know, you just can't be be in school and be bored just doing English, arithmetic, and you have to have some extra activities mm-hmm. that helps a lot. Going to mm-hmm. a job 7 days a week or 6 days a week, that gets boring. You know, what do you do after work? You go somewhere for a happy hour. let's not act like just because we are adults, don't act like we got it all together, because we had to travel a road to get to where we are today.
Mm-hmm. Right. We did. And the program that the kids are going to with the golf, they're giving out scholarships. So like you said, it's they can get a golf scholarship. So if they keep going mm-hmm. and end up liking golf, end up, you know, learning how to play it, they could get a scholarship to go to school.
And look at Serena and Venus, how they opened up the doors for young black women to really want. Well, there was another, I think Billie Jean King, she wasn't like a Serena and Venus, okay? Serena and Venus mm-hmm. have been changed the whole tennis world, because their father taught them mm-hmm. and had them on a weight and a strengthening conditioning. And what they do now, these young girls, they have to do more than just hit that ball. They have to be strong, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And like right now with women being getting into everything, you know, they're really trying to put the women, you know, to make money with sports of women. And even though there's not a lot of people going out to watch women different sports like they do with football and basketball, they are getting these big contracts because these girls are seeing these other girls in sports, and they're advertising their outfits, their shoes, and things like that. So Nike mm-hmm. has picked up on all that. So if you want to be in the game, you have to participate. You can't sit back and talk about what you wish you could do. You know, these young people, a lot of them are motivated and they're driven. Yes, we do have a lot of other issues with but you can't save the whole world. You can just do what you can do. And I suggest everybody mm-hmm. do what they can do
mm-hmm.
and not criticize those who are doing what they can do.
Yeah. If everybody do something, it'll help. You know, just like they say, reach back and pull one up, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Reach back and help. Mm-hmm. I don't care what it is. Just help. If somebody needs some books for college, help them get them. And
exactly.
I was just saying that I know that everybody's not going to be a doctor, Lord, but our kids can be at a higher rate. But if we're not talking about it in the home and they have these gifts and talents that's being overlooked, then they never get the opportunity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Like I said, this one lady, I know you know the Thunderbirds or the Thunderbirds lived on Little Stell, I think it was. And she was saying that her son got accepted to medical school, and then, you know, Jackie's daughter. So it's a whole lot of doctors in these households. But if they never mm-hmm. hear about it, and if we never mm-hmm. notice that they have that gift or those abilities, you know, mm-hmm. and we downplay it, or, you know, don't even, you know, don't want them to go nowhere, want to just keep them home,
yeah,
then they never even had an opportunity to do what it is that they can do. Yeah.
Right.
Because it should be a bigger number. It shouldn't be the bigger number, shouldn't be in the jailhouse. And them
exactly.
some doctors and lawyers sitting up in jail, you know.
Right.
And so they had some gifts and some talents that nobody even saw until they got locked up.
Yeah.
Our kids are mm-hmm. smart. Our kids are smart. And it should be an equal, you know, a balance in that. Because no mm-hmm. one is smarter, you know, no one is smarter.
Mm-hmm.
They all can have.
Kathy, they just highlighted a young lady last week who got accepted into
mm-hmm.
medical school. I think she's like 14,
right.
I think.
13
okay.
years old, right.
Yeah.
13. Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but if we don't let them know that they could do these things, you know, if we just,
mm-hmm.
you know, just teach them what we know, which, you know, how to dance, how to braid some hair, how to, you know, we just teach them that and just show them how to put on some clothes and things like that. I mean, that's... They can learn that. But, you
yeah.
know, what else is it? What has God gifted you with? You know, if you're really smart in math,
mm-hmm.
you're really smart in science, okay, those go together.
Mm-hmm.
So tell them what opportunities they can have and what they would qualify for, what their gifts are. If they're riding there trying to blow up the house, you know, something, those things are, you know, you have to, you know, just see what your kids are doing, but you have to be there to see, you know. And they'll show you what their gifts and talents are. They will.
Mm-hmm.
If they reading to other kids, you know, then that means they want to be a teacher.
Well, I know yesterday I was visiting one of the grandchildren yesterday. She's grown on 9, and she did a facial. She did a facial
mm-hmm.
and put makeup on me, and she was so knowledgeable about the skincare, and I was just smiling. I just really enjoyed
mm-hmm.
the way she was just. She washed my face, and she applied, and she told me. She said you can
mm-hmm.
talk about the pH balance. I don't know if what she knew what she was talking about or not, but it all sounded really good. Okay, and
wow.
She made up my face, and she did all this and that, and you know, and she told me how she keep my face hydrated, and I was like, my,
wow,
you know. And I felt like I was, the way she was explaining things, she sounded so professional and everything. And
wow.
So, and it was just something. I think she hydrated my face so much. It's like when I washed the face today, it still felt. But
wow.
I told her, I said, you know, it was
professional.
I was amazed. Right. I was just amazed how she was talking and how she was explaining things, why
mm-hmm.
she was doing this and that, you know. And so, of course, when she got finished, I said, well, thank you so much. And I paid her. And she was just your eyes off. And she said, oh, well, thank you. Well, you know, that's just putting the idea in her head. And it's like, well, you know, you did this so well. You might could do this for part-time as for a living, you know, when she go to college, when my niece
mm-hmm.
went to college,
mm-hmm.
she knows how to do eyelashes, so she probably did eyelashes while she was up there making money. So, like I said, these young people, they
mm-hmm.
already have entrepreneurship in their blood. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. They do. and we have to support them with that. Yes, I told the kids, I saw this little lemonade stand thing at Audie's. I was like, y'all want to do a lemonade stand? They're like, yeah. So they might be out there doing a lemonade stand and the little business that they have in your neighborhood with the curb appeal thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was telling them about it. So I was telling them that they could do that, you know, on our block because, you got grass coming all out the sidewalk. I said, y'all could do that and make a lot of money. They are interested. But you have to tell them that you can do this. You can be in business for yourself.
Start them off young.
And that's all we need people to do is help the kids on your block. Help them do those things because those are things that you know, they're going to need help with when they get older. I need help now. I don't want to take my trash out. I don't want to take the garbage can to the front. I don't want to cut my own grass. I need the kids to do that.
Mm-hmm. So right.
Let's give it to them, give them a few dollars, and let them feel appreciated, and that let's teach them work ethics.
And that's one thing parents need to start doing is like encouraging their children to do little odd jobs like that because if some of these young people, parents give them money, they give them so much money that they don't want to go out and earn anything,
Right.
And so while you're buying, designer this and designer that, and then when they get 18, you don't buy any more designer this and that. And so they say, well, I'm not going to go. I don't want to work because I'm used to wearing this and that. Well, you can't wear this and that if you don't have the money to buy this and that, And so we should encourage
them to
have their own little lawn service. Like you said, we getting old. We can still cut grass. So we would much rather use $20 to $30 to do it. four people's house on the block, $30, that's $120 right there. Instead of letting them stay in the house because we keep children in the house because they figure they're gonna be safe staying in the house, So we can teach them how to have their own business card made up and you can take them house to house and transport them and supervise them and show them how to do it correctly. So they say, well, that's really good. You teach them how to paint. I taught my guys how to paint, how to lay a floor, things like that.
Right.
So there's a lot of things that if you can with it, you can teach your child to do the same thing.
Just call me if y'all need somebody to come over and do some stuff for you because I got a whole crew of kids. They learn it and they know how to do some stuff. So,
Okay.
I don't want to have to do nothing.
Well, thank you. I said thank you and I'm going to get off the phone.
Leave. Okay, don't hang up. Just listen. Okay.
All right.
6695. Hello.
Good afternoon, Kathy.
Hey.
I was listening to Miss Pierce just now, and it took me back to when I was growing up in the church. When my sisters and I were growing up in the church, we used to watch my aunties sing in the choir every Sunday. And now I look at my sister, Naomi, and she's on the praise team. My sister Sarah is a youth pastor now, and I'm one of the youth pastors. So I guess what I'm trying to say is having that positive influence around me help me be the man who that God wanted me to be. And I was, and the day when my daddy was preaching, I look at her and I say, Lord, you are really using her. And he said, look at the legacy she followed. Look at the legacy she was watching. She was watching your she was watching your grandfather. She was watching she was watching a lot of people who became preachers, and she wanted to follow in the preaching footsteps. We have a lot of we have a lot of ministers in our family. My uncle Derek, who just went home to be with the Lord a year ago, was a minister. So we, I guess what I'm trying to say is, instead of breaking our kids, down, we must build them.
Build them up.
We must build them up. And I, I guess what it is if we don't inspire our kids to be who they want to be, then when they get older, they won't have the desire to be who God called them to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one more thing, and I will let you go. I am a CEO of a small micro business called TT's Button Biz, where I make pinback buttons for a small micro business, later in life, I had the desire to be that because of how I grew up watching people in my family start their own businesses. And they came from humble beginnings, and the businesses they have, they're not the top of the class, but they're teaching other people they're teaching the youth how they can be successful in the entrepreneurship business. There was a 7-year-old girl in Massachusetts. She was in Massachusetts. She was 7 years old, and she started a food pantry. And when I saw that, I said, oh, my goodness, that's what we need to do with our youth. So I love what you were saying about getting our youth exposed to other avenues. Because if we don't expose them early, if we don't give them the inspiration early to live life, then when they get older, they won't know how to live in this real world.
Right. Right. They won't know how to behave. You know, a lot of the teachers are, you know, saying that they can't teach because of the youth behavior. So they need to be socialized better. They need to be, you know,
right,
house and taking a different event so that they can know how to behave. So, you know,
yeah,
you take them places and you see them, you know, doing things that they shouldn't do, jumping on stuff and, you know. And so then that lets you know, what kind of work you have to do, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
so,
one more thing.
We have to.
If we don't have the passion for what we are doing, then our youth won't get a chance to have the passion for what they're called to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they're learning from us. They're learning from us, or they're not learning from us. So they do just about what they see us doing. If we're not doing anything, they're not going to do anything. So we got a lot of work to do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love what you were saying about getting the youth exposed to other avenues.
Mm-hmm.
I really
need
it.
Yeah.
Because like I said earlier, when I was younger, I used to watch my aunties sing in a choir.
Mm-hmm.
I used to watch my grandfather preach at the Riverwood Bible Assembly every other Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who inspired me to preach. That's who inspired me to do what I'm doing now, preaching-wise.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, that's who we learn from. We learn from who are around, and Marcus is talking about the culture, so we learn what we see. So we got to take our kids to another whole level, and, you know, I just hope that the parents will step it up, you know, for their kids and make the investment that they need to make for them. Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you, parents.
You are welcome. Thank you.
I wonder if Pastor O anywhere out there in the mix. That awesome O. Because we need to hear from him. It's been a hot time this evening, and we need to hear from the awesome.
I hope I calmed it down a little bit.
Yeah. He probably ready. He all revved up. Awesome. Oh, are you out there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, hello.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been real good. You know, I was listening to the dialogue that was taking place. You know, and I think what the caller wanted to know in particular what disparities were you talking about. I think his point was that we might need to look a little deeper. Yes, there are differences, and that's well documented. That, you know, for a long time we couldn't even go to school, okay? I'll never forget the image of walking the military walking a little girl into school in Georgia and George Wallace on the steps talking about segregation now and all of that stuff and segregation forever. I remember how they fought against black folks being educated. I even remember when it was even illegal to teach a black person to read, and the penalties or the price you would have to pay if you got caught reading. All of those images are still in our heads. And even though we had civil rights in 1964, you know, we can still succeed because folks been succeeding. I mean, if you just study American history, you will see that there were a lot of black folks who were succeeding. Okay, so I think what he was speaking to is, okay, what happens, what is the problem in a school where they don't have the disparages? What happens when you have the advantages and you're still not making it? And then the bigger question is, what do we do about the murder rate in our own communities? I mean, we live here in Detroit, in the vicinity of it, right? And so we know what's going on every day. You turn on the television, somebody else is getting shot. But one of the things that he was saying was, back to the family. Bring back the family. That's the key right there, because the question was asked, when did it change? When did it stop? I think that was you. When did it go away? When did we flip up to where we are now? When did we stop being a village? Well, again, when black folks migrated here from the South, they came looking for opportunities. And the things that coalesced us together, if you let me say it like that, that put us together like glue, is we needed each other. And we needed to make a strong, united front if we were going to come out of chattel slavery, okay? And so when we got here to the North, we started focusing in things we couldn't have or do in the South even after 1865, you know, with the failure of Reconstruction, poll taxes, about voting, and all these other lack of education, and all of that. When we started making money and getting better jobs, getting better houses, getting better cars, building better communities, what happened was we didn't need God anymore. We said, thank you, Lord, for getting us out of chattel slavery. We appreciate that. Lord, thank you for getting us civil rights. We appreciate it, but we'll take it from here. And so it wasn't that important for our kids. You just heard Pastor Tate talking about how he was influenced by those in front of him and how that influence led to a legacy of people who folded in. That's what the Lord told us to be intentional about raising our children. I want you to hear, well, I'll just say it before I start a Bible class. The Lord specifically told the children of Israel not to, when they got into the promised land, not to forget him. He literally told them, when they get to the promised land and you drinking out of wells you didn't dig, you picking fruit from trees you didn't plant, you're living in houses that you did not buy or build, and you have farms that you didn't even produce. When you get there, do not forget the Lord your God. But what did they do? They got there, and they forgot God. By the time you get, I want you to hear it. I said I wasn't going to read it, but I'm going to read it. Listen. What the Lord said. Well, maybe Holy Ghost just laughed at me. But anyway, listen to what the Lord says to these people. And then think about what I just said about us coming out of slavery, because this is Israel coming out of chattel slavery. That's where they had no rights at all. Other people had the rights over them, which was Egypt. Okay, they're out now. And Moses is talking to these people because they're getting ready to go to the promised land. Life is about to change for them. It's about to get better. Okay, he says, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you're on the road. And when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up, tie them on your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The Lord your God will soon bring you into a land that he swore to give you when he made a vow to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is a land with large, prosperous cities that you did not build. The houses will be richly stocked with goods you did not produce. You will draw water from cisterns or wells you did not dig, and you will eat food from vineyards and olive trees you did not plant. When you have eaten your fill in this land, be careful not to forget the Lord who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. You must fear the Lord your God and serve him. When you take an oath, you must use only his name. Now, it goes on. But the parallel here is the same with us. A lot of the cities that we live in, white folks used to live there. You go to the Boston Edison area in Detroit, white folks live there. When we moved in, they moved out. The city of Ecorse, when I moved here, the side that I live on now was called the white side. I lived on the black side. Okay, so now I live in a house built by somebody who was white. Actually, it's a cottage because we're so close to the river. Somebody wanted a cottage close to the river, so I live in a cottage that was built by some rich white people. It's the same for the children of Israel. God brought them to a place that was already set up. All they had to do was melt right into it, into that little pot, and start working. And we did. Working in plants, my father and mother for a long time worked at Ford Motor Company, and then my mother left and my father worked at Ford Motor Company and E.J. Corvette. And then my mother for a time worked part-time for Gerback Funeral Homes, okay? So they had jobs now. The things they used to pray about, they don't have to pray about no more. And then it became, I want my kids' lives to be better than the life I had. So we turned toward the great God education. Educate my children. Make them even with white children. And so we set out to make our children even with white children. We didn't want our children no longer to be good children or right-living children, but like white children. And we just kept going and we kept going, but we moved further and further away. See, I taught Sunday school at a big church with 900 members from 1984 when I got there until, and I've been a Sunday school teacher since 1978. And over the years, I noticed my pastor at the second church I went to, Reverend E.M. Brown, came to me and asked me, would I do something for him? He asked me, would I run a drive? You know what he wanted me to do? He wanted me to get 50 children, 50 parents, convince 50 parents to bring their children to Sunday school. And it just got worse and worse and worse. So we have highly educated kids, but no spiritual background. And when you go look at Judges, the book of Judges, this is what we've succeeded in doing, and this is a part of our problem, okay? When you get to verse 10 in Judges chapter 2, a crazy thing happened, okay? This is those people who came out of slavery, right? And now they're in the promised land. But listen to verse 10 in chapter 2. After that generation died, that's Joshua and all of them. Okay, after that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. And that's what we have today. We have a generation that has grown up and they don't know God. They don't remember what slavery was like. They have glimpses of it. They see where black folks get shot 60 times and white folks get arrested and put in the back seat, even though they shot children or whatever. It makes no difference. Going to a grocery store, shoot it up, you get arrested. Black folks get shot 60 times. Mm-hmm. So they know something about it. But they don't know how black folks and white folks together had to lock hands in prayer and get beat on the Edmund Pettus Bridge trying to vote, just trying to go do what every other America was doing. They don't know about the struggle. Why? Because what these folks did, They got into the promised land, and they forgot God. And they started telling their children something else about how to be successful and how to have a good life. And so we've managed to do exactly what they did. We've raised a generation that don't know God. I'll never forget teaching a vacation Bible school class and having a 15-year-old ask me, if I want to have kids, does that necessarily mean I need to have a husband? I want kids, but I don't want a husband. This is in vacation Bible school. Praise God. It worked out. She did have babies, and she don't have no husband, but she is a strong Christian today. She learned from her mistakes, and now she's, you know, got it all together. But that's what we've done, and that's a part of the problem. So we need two things. We need parents who will be concerned about their children being in church as much as they are about getting good grades and going to school. We will beat our kids if they come home with bad grades. We'll take away their phone, the ultimate punishment. We'll take their phone away, okay? But what do we do if they don't go to church? I'll never forget being told that there was this little kid at home, and I asked the parent, where's the child? And they told me that they didn't feel like doing church today, so they slept in. And that's where we are. We do not value Christian education anymore. And see, secular education is good. God wants us to be secularly educated, right? But he, like he told them, don't forget me. Keep me as your foundation, as your go-to, okay? Don't, you remember, if you look at Exodus 37, you'll see that God had some people, Aholiab and a Bezalel, and these were people who God had given the Holy Spirit to enhance the natural giftings they had for making things, okay? We like to say, excuse me, your gift will make room for you. Well, what that means is Paul was a tent maker. And because he was a tent maker and the society that he lived in, people needed tents a lot, okay? So Paul, wherever he went to preach the word, he made tents. His gift to make tents made room for him wherever he went. All these places that we work in, this is what God wants us to do in those places that we work in, but we don't put two and two together. Just listen to this. In the places that we work in, he says, he uses the word slave. He's not talking about chattel slavery without rights. He's talking about people who have went and indentured themselves to somebody for a certain length of time for a profit. In other words, indentured servitude, I'll come and work for you. Like I went to work for the Chemlon Corporation. It don't exist no more, so I can use their name, right? And they taught me how to do weed control and fertilizer. I became an agronomist, and then I opened up a company. That's indentured servitude. They paid me. Okay, so these slaves are not chattel slavery. And these masters don't own these people. These people work for them. But however you look at it, the idea is when you enter into somebody's employ, this is how the Lord wants you to govern yourself. So you'll see that there's God and there's real work. Slaves, obey your earthly masters. So people are going to get messed up and send me emails. I know it. So here's what I'm going to do. Employees, obey your earthly bosses or employers in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they're watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward and that the master you are serving is Christ. But if you do what is wrong, get to the job and start acting all crazy, you'll be paid back for the wrong that you have done, for God has no favorites. So you go on the job clowning and act like you don't know God, then you can get fired. I know. did it 37 times. So anyway, what I'm, the long story short, Bring Back the Family was brought into existence by God. But you have to bring back the family to church. You have to bring the family back to God to bring back the family. Because you can't just bring back the family with education. That just won't do it. Or it would fix the world. But look at the world. It's crazy. People who are highly educated, highly educated, usually become criminals. I'll never forget sitting with a man who, black man, who owned a company with five semi-trucks, and another man who worked for a company, and he constantly traveled all over the place. And libations came out. And once the libations were consumed, they got a little loose with the tongue. And then one just almost started crying, talking to me about all the crimes he had committed to get the money he got. And, you know, to think of it, I saw this person not too long ago at an event, and they were so happy, so I had to talk to them. They got out of that situation. They couldn't stand it no more, and he is powerfully aligned with the Lord now. And he's in business and is being successful. But before, when he was doing whatever he had to do to get paid to keep up with the rest of those people, it didn't work for him. Okay? So a lot of folks have a lot of stuff, but what did they have to do to get it? Did you have to leave God to get it? Whereas Dr. Tony Evans, who worked in a bus station while he was going to college, loading and unloading the bus's luggage, was working with some other people, and they worked a midnight shift. And he would be working all by himself because the other ones was just going to sleep and taking naps. Turns out the bosses knew what was happening and called him in, told him they knew what was happening, and they ended up making him the supervisor, made them their foreman. He worked like he was working for the Lord, even though they was trashing him out for not going along with what they were doing. Okay? So that's how God wants to prosper us. So, yes, they need education because God wants them to be CEOs of companies. That way, God is running the company because God is running the person who's running the company. Workers get paid right. If they're in government, people get treated right. So God wants us everywhere. But we can't have the success that we're looking for and leave God behind. So the caller and everybody said a lot of good things, you know, some stuff we can get into, transgenderism, LGBTQ, and getting kids up out of the environment like you're doing and showing them something different. It makes them, it expands their thinking and their minds, and they're not so local. Okay, and that helps a lot. There's a whole lot I could say. But it was a really good show today, some really good conversation had, some really good back and forth, and this is working because it's creating a buzz. It's creating a conversation. It's getting people to talk about it rather than just looking out the window and looking at the television and seeing it happen and throwing your hands up in the air. But the caller, he had a nail on the head because he wanted to go a step further. Okay, they have all of this, but they're still clowning. Now what? That was the question there. So the answer to that was, I think he said that too, that we have to get back to family. And the devil is destroying family because he knows if he can destroy families, then he can just keep this thing all tore up. See, God created family. Okay, he got men. Adam was a man. Not a woman. Eve was a woman, not a man. And this man and this woman come together and have kids, and together they raise them. We don't have that today. And I don't have any trouble saying that's the reason we have what we have today. Everything and everybody is doing their own thing. And to be a Christian today, and you have gay children or a transgender child, who thinks something different, you have to stand with, you have to stand where the Lord stands on that issue. I know you love your little Mookie Boo, but you cannot leave God to support your children's wrong behavior. And because we love our kids, we throw God under the bus. I love my baby. And if my baby gay, then they can be gay all in my house and everywhere. I don't care. The Lord says you cannot love anybody or any person, place, thing, or thought above me. He literally says that. But when our child comes up and says, I think I'm a girl, or our child comes up and says, I like the same sex, we don't know how to approach that. Okay, that's like a person who likes lying. You cannot say, okay, you my baby, you can lie all you want, I love you. You can't say that. That's like, what if your child come up and say, I like robbing people, or you my baby, and that's wrong, but you my baby, and I'm going to love you anyway. No, robbing's wrong. Being trans, I mean, if you were born, this is a grown-up show, so parents help your kids. If you were born with a penis, God made you a man. If you were born with a vagina, you're a woman. Now, what happens inside your head and what you choose to do with that, that's on you. There are too many things that God said we can't do. And now we do those things sometimes, but we have to confess to God that we did what he told us not to. He forgives us and cleanses us, right? But what if we don't think, what if we tell God what God said is wrong, it's not wrong? What if we start telling God, I can do what I want to do because I've determined it's not wrong? That is the sin that happened in the garden. The devil came up and told Adam and Eve that what God said was a sin is not a sin, and you won't suffer any ill for it. He said that you will not surely die. He directly contradicted what God said, because God said, the day that you eat from that tree, thou shalt surely die. The devil said, thou shalt not surely die, but your life will be better. You'll become like God. You'll be able to determine for yourself what's right and wrong. And that's what's going on today. So there's a lot that has to be dealt with, and I don't envy parents who have kids growing up, because you never know. It's like Forrest Gump said, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. But like Pastor Terrence Tate said, if you train up a child in the way they should go and do what we read over there in Deuteronomy, then when they're older, they won't depart from it. One of the things that I learned early on after the Lord called me was, I started reading that Bible, and it seemed like everything I did and thought was wrong. But I learned that, like it says in Romans chapter 3, that God gave us the law to teach us that we are sinners and that we are without excuse. But he gave us Christ to help us where we cannot help ourselves, and that is making ourselves right with God. But we cannot begin to say that sin is not sin just because it's our family. So if you're going to bring back the family, you have to bring back the family, and you have to stand where God stands. And today, you know, I heard, and I'll close with this, about transgenderism. I heard a man say the other day he was putting together a basketball team, and he named LeBron James, and he named some other basketball players who are superstars, Steph Curry and all and people like that. And then he said, here's what we're going to do. All of you are going to identify as women, and we're going to go take over the women's, the WBA. Imagine LeBron James identifying as a woman and playing in the WBA. And just running over everybody. Imagine an NFL player playing high school football. So you see what I'm saying? We have a lot to deal with, and Kathy, bring back the family, has to deal with all of that. All of that. But good example is what you said about, I got the kids in my block. You get the kids in your block, and before you know it, we'll have all these blocks. And if we take these kids and invest time, then we can, you know, make some stuff happen. So God bless. Awesome
show. We'll all be safe.
Exactly.
We'll all be safe. Get them.
Because if we don't do anything, they still, like you say, they still got to eat. They still want clothes. And like I think it was Sister Pierce was saying, that you buy them all this stuff when they're coming up. You don't want them to work. You give them more money than they can go down the street and earn. And then when they turn 18, you cut them off. But they still want that stuff. So the next thing you know, they're slanging. They're slanging or robbing.
Yeah.
One or the other.
Yeah.
They
might kill you for doing it.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, funny you said that.
You started this.
I knew a girl who got hooked on crack. Her parents had always given her everything, and they were business people, entrepreneurs in the city. And she had her own parents robbed. She set up her own parents to be robbed. So, you know, like, I don't think people understand when you say, if we don't help them now, we'll be victims of not helping them later.
Right.
She had her own parents robbed.
They have to understand that part. They have to understand that part, because if they don't work, like you say, they don't eat. And so,
and they don't eat.
I just see danger. They won't eat. Can't eat. So they're going to go get some food from somewhere. Yeah. So, yeah. I know one of the kids, they just think I'm rich because I could, you know, take them all these places. I said, I work. And I work hard, and I'm just sharing, that's all. So they think they can just call you, can you cash at me $5? I'm like, you can earn $5. Come on down here.
That's what my father used to tell me. You can earn it. I ain't going to give it to you, but you can earn
it.
And now it worked. I swore back in the day, I guess I was about 16 or 17, but I'll never forget it. I was standing on the corner of 16th and Otter Drive, and I swore I would never, ever work for anybody. I would always be a hustler, work for myself. I'd have finally retired and put in 40 years. So my little plan didn't work. I had to work anyway. I got hungry, so I ate.
You know,
it's amazing. It's amazing. But, you know, that plan did not work of not working. So I worked 40, ended up 40 plus years. And still made it. But anyway,
and you're right.
Awesome show.
And you're right. We have to take them to church. We have to get them back into the church. And,
we have to.
You know, that'll help their behavior and all of that. And
see,
I tell mine, I say, okay, if you don't.
They look at what they look at you. If you don't go to church, you know, parents used to drop their kids off at Sunday school, and I loved them for that. They wouldn't come themselves, but they'd drop their kids off, and then they'd come back later. Okay, go home, get ready, and come back later. But kids would tell me, I can't wait till I get 18. And I'm like, why? So you can be on your own, so no, I don't have to go to church no more, like their parents. My mama, my daddy, they don't go to Sunday school. Why I got to go? See, so they pay attention to you, and they look at you. And if you're not doing it, or, for instance, you take your kids to church every Sunday, but you're late every Sunday, you're teaching them how to treat church. Before they learn what church really is, you're teaching them how to treat church. Or say you're this parent. You only take your children to church once a month or once every 3 months. What do you think? They're going to go to church every Sunday? That's not going to happen. You taught them how to go to church, and you taught them to be late and to go whenever they want to. And you also taught them that you don't have to go to Bible class or Sunday school at all. How do you think Jesus feel? He gave you them kids. And you doing this to them. But it wasn't like that with you. If you say you don't want to do it to them because it was done to you, but you turned out right and they turning out crazy. Don't you see what happened? Your parents took you to church so you wouldn't turn out crazy. And if you did, you could get fixed.
Right.
But we don't get it. But we will. Bring back the family.
Yeah.
Going to bring it all back together.
Right. And they taught us who to depend on. They sure did. And so I put on Facebook today, take your kids on your block to church. And so I did take some kids to church today, and they really enjoyed it. They we like it there. It was fun. So that's
a start.
So they can't go on any activities unless they're ready to go to church on Sunday. So that's the trade-off. You want to go on activities all week, you have to go to church on Sunday. You have to be ready.
And Janice,
some of them
was
ready
Janice really preached today. She really did.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we got it going on over there at Run Up for Christ Ministry. So if you want to visit us, look it up and come on and visit us. Some great things going on. We truly study the Bible. Okay. Okay. So I think that's it. That's it, Pastor.
I'm good.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, just thank everybody for listening, all the listeners, all the speakers today. And just remember, block by block, just do something in your block. In your block. And just imagine what that can do. You know, get the kids out, socialize them, get them some books. You know, give them whatever you was given back in the day. Okay? Give them whatever you think that you didn't get or you missed. Give it to them, you know, so that we can get them going. We're going to make them well-rounded. We're going to give them church. We're going to give them school. We're going to give them socialization. We're going to give them resources. We're going to give them all that they need to make it in this world, because it all goes together. We want our kids to be well-rounded so they could be safe and we could be safe, okay? So, because if we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later, okay? So we will see you next week, same time, same place. Same subject maybe or different subject. Well, who knows? Just tune in. All right, be safe.
If I were a drum, I would use my cymbal. If I were a writer, I would use a pencil. I would use my voice. If I were a singer, no matter who or what we are, we must praise. If I was a doctor, I would use my research, a prolific dissertation. If I was a speaker, I would use my hands. If I were a potter, no matter
Oh, yeah. Oh, bread of life, God. Oh, meat of hunger, Lord. Water of thirst, Lord. We magnify you. We thank you for what you've done, God. What you're doing, God. And what you're gonna do. No matter who or what we are, we must praise.